would like to ask you tonight, if you will, please get a Bible, and I'd like to ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews. I would like to read from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to begin with the 7th verse and read through verse 10. I would encourage all of you, the parents especially that have children, that as you have your devotionals at home, I would encourage you to take the 11th chapter of Hebrews and go through and take each of these individuals and other things that are mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. The subject of faith is the primary subject under consideration. But take each of these people, like it talks about Noah. Go back in the Old Testament. Just teach a lot about Noah to your children. How Noah was a man that walked by faith and a man that lived by faith. Talk about Enoch, a man that walked by faith and lived by faith. Talk about Abraham. Look in detail at the Word of God in the Old Testament, that gives you a lot more than just the little synopsis that we have in Hebrews chapter 11 about each of these individuals. I'd like to read now from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 7, read through verse 10, before we begin to endeavor to read from God's holy Word. I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the privilege that we have to know that we have a Father that is perfect and holy in every way. We thank you for the great peace that we have in knowing that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us so much that thou didst send thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful that when Jesus came into the earth, he came for a purpose and he accomplished what he came to do. That as the angel told Joseph that he would be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. We're thankful that Jesus did that. We're thankful that our salvation is secure, that we're preserved in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're kept by the power of God. We're thankful that we know that one day we're going to be in that eternal home in the heavens, not made with hands. We're thankful also that while we live here in this world, that we have the privilege to be a part of thy church and thy kingdom in the earth. The privilege to be able to feel you come down and dwell with us here. And we're thankful that we can feel your presence with us tonight. And we pray that as we have come together, that thy Holy Spirit would be manifest. For thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So we come tonight asking you to fill us all with the Spirit of God. Help us to concentrate on the Word of God. Help us to hear the Word of God and understand it. Help us to believe it and obey it. As we sang the song, Trust and Obey, we pray that you would help us to trust you and obey you in every area of our lives. We pray that you would bless us all during this coming week. You know the needs of each person here tonight, each family that's represented. We ask you to bless them and help them and guide them and direct them. And may your guardian angels be round about them. And may each of us every day, may we realize the brevity of life. May we all think about the fact that we're only going to be here a little while, so help us to live each day as if it's our last. When we lay down on our bed at night, we pray that you would help us to feel that we've done the things that you would have us to do during that day. Help us to honor thee and glorify thee. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Guide our footsteps. Guide everything that we do. Give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discretion that can come only from thee. Again, we beg thy blessings upon all those who are sick. We know that you're the great physician. We ask you to touch and heal and lift up those that are sick and afflicted and restore them to their health. Especially, Lord, we pray as Sister Valerie goes to begin the chemo, we pray that you would be with her and bless her, that you would touch her body, bless it to be completely and totally removed of all cancer, and we pray that you would bless her over the long life, that you would bless her and Brother Brian and their family as they go through this, that you would uphold them and may your Holy Spirit just lift them up into a sacred nearness with thee. Continue to bless Brother Donnie and Sister Michelle's mother and Brother Jerry's sister and all the others that have cancer. We pray that you would bless them and be with them. Lord, we're thankful that some that have been sick are doing better, and we praise you for that. There are so many others that stand in great need of thy help this night. There are families that have trouble. We ask you to bind them together with thy love and lift them up and help them. And we pray that you would help us to know how to help other people. Again, now bless us as we study Thy holy word. May Your Spirit be our teacher. Guide us into that portion of Thy word that Thou would have us to study. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, the King of Kings. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We'd like to read now from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 7. The Word of God says, by faith, Noah. And of course, everybody that's mentioned in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, it's talking about things they did by faith. That is, they trusted in God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Did Noah save his house? Did Noah save his house? Was that eternal salvation? No, but were they saved? They were saved. They were delivered. They were delivered from the flood because Noah built the ark that he was told to build. So he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There's a righteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a righteousness that comes by faith. And there's a righteousness that comes by works. Now listen carefully to verse 8. Verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Correctly read, that's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. What was that city? Was he looking for the eternal heaven, or was he looking for something different? What is the city of God that's spoken of in the Word of God, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, that the Word of God says it came down from God out of heaven? What is that holy city? It's the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. It's called the kingdom of heaven because it came down out of heaven. It's called the kingdom of God because it came down from God. That's the holy city and the new Jerusalem. And by faith, Abraham obeyed God, and he went out, and he was looking, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, today, you and I have the privilege to dwell in that city that Abraham was looking for. We have the privilege today, while we live, to dwell in this holy city and New Jerusalem. But I believe that in order for us to dwell in this holy city and New Jerusalem, in order for us to dwell in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, in order for us to experience that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, we have to do what Abraham did. And I want us to go back and look at exactly what the Word of God specifically tells us that God called on Abraham to do. Because I believe that God has called on every one of us to do what He called on Abraham to do. Now I want you to look carefully at what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 8. And please pray for God to help us to understand the truth that's contained in this passage of Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, the Word of God says, by faith, and let me say this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's taught right here in Hebrews 11, 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Also, 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 says that all men have not faith. Everybody doesn't have faith. Where do you get faith? Where does the faith that is in you, where does that faith come from? It's a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. God gave you faith when you were born of the Spirit of God. Now God has taught you that you're to take that faith and use that faith and walk by faith and live by faith. And as you exercise your faith gets stronger. Sometimes the people of God act like they have no faith. In fact, God condemned His people in the Old Testament often. He says they were children that had no faith. That is, They were not manifesting any faith. Other times Jesus would speak to His disciples and others, and He would say, O ye of, what would He call them? O ye of little faith. And then the Word of God talks about those that had great faith. Now, the people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 are people that had great faith. Great faith. Abraham is the one we're going to look at first tonight. Abraham was a man of God called. I want you to notice in verse 8, the Word of God says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. And let me just pause here. I have to lay some background that you understand. There are two primary callings in the Word of God. Primarily, there is a calling from death unto life. We sometimes call that the effectual call, or being born again. And when God calls us from death unto life, it is an involuntary response. That is, we don't decide to be born again. Do you know what you did to be born again? You did absolutely nothing. You were not sick and God called you to be born again. What was your condition when God called you from death to life? What was your condition? You were dead. You were graveyard dead. You were dead as a doorknob. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And God came to you and God quickened you and God implanted His Spirit in you and you were brought from death unto life. It's just as real as that raising of Lazarus from the dead. When Lazarus was there in that tomb, and Jesus came to Lazarus, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Did Lazarus decide whether or not to come forth there? No, he didn't make a decision to come forth. He was dead, and God called him from death into life. Now that's the effectual call. That's something that all of God's children experience. They're called from death unto life. At some point during their lives, they're born again during this effectual call. Now, after the effectual call, you have what we sometimes call the gospel call. The call to obedience. The call to follow Christ. The call to serve Christ. And let me tell you this, every one of you are called to serve the Lord. You may not be called to be a minister, a preacher of the gospel. You may not be called to particular things, but God has called every one of you just like He called Abraham. He called Abraham to do something. I want you to, and this is the focus of what I want us to think about tonight. What did God call Abraham to do? Look at Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to, listen carefully, to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. Now, he was called to do two things. What was he called to do? To go out, and then what's the second thing? Okay, well, he obeyed, but he was called to go out into a place. I want you to see that first, then we'll go down to the third thing about he obeyed. But I want you to understand that God called Abraham to come out. To go out. He called him to go out. And if all you think about when God has called you to go out and to leave something, you're going to be depressed, discouraged, and despondent. But when you understand God has called you to go out in order to go into something better, when you know that what God's called you into is better than what He's calling you out of, you're going to do like Abraham did and obey God. Abraham was dwelling in the land of Ur of the Chaldees or Chaldees. He was dwelling there, and then he was dwelling in Haran, and then God called him to go out of Haran and to go somewhere else. Did that take faith for Abraham to leave where he was at and where he was happy and where he was rich and all the things that he had there in Haran? Was that a lot of faith to leave that? I want you to go back and look. Let's just take just a moment. Back up to Genesis. Back up in your Bibles because I want you to see what God called Abraham to do. God called him to go out. Now, we're going to look at He called him to go into something, but I first want you to see the tremendous amount of faith it took for Abraham to leave what God told him to leave. And God, again now, God calling every one of us here tonight to leave some things. And I hope God will touch your heart and cause you to know and understand and feel exactly what God has called on you to leave. He's called all of us to leave different kinds of things. We all don't have the same attachments to this world. Did you know that? There are some things in this world that I'm attached to that are of no significance to you. There are things that you're attached to that mean nothing to me. But God has called every one of us to leave some things of this world and to go out and leave those things and to go into something else. And that's what God called Abraham to do, to go out and into another place. Genesis chapter 12, listen to what the Word of God says. Genesis chapter 12, listen to the first three verses. Please look at this in your Bibles. Genesis chapter 12, I want you to see the tremendous thing that Abraham was called to leave. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out. Had He called him to go out? Get thee out. Has God called you to leave some things? You know what the church is? The church is a body of born-again, baptized believers who have been called out of the world. And so it is that God's Word says about Abraham, The Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out. Now I want you to listen to what He told him to leave. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show them. It was going into something. But first thing you need to understand, He was called to leave something. What was He called to leave? I'll tell you, brethren, it was a difficult thing for Him to leave what He left. And I don't want you to ever forget how hard it was for Abraham. It was something that he was leaving that caused great pain and agony. It's a walk of faith. He had to have total faith in God to do what God was telling him to do. How do you think Abraham's family reacted to him leaving all the things that he had right there at home? You think some of them thought he was crazy? I think so. I really do. I know that when God has called me out of a lot of things, and when God has called you out of a lot of things, to leave a lot of things, I know there are a lot of people, if you've been walking by faith and doing what God's called you to do, people have thought you were crazy too. Did you know that? A lot of people will think you're crazy when you do what God tells you to do. In fact, I don't believe anybody can do what God's calling them to do without people thinking you're crazy. When you realize all that God's calling you to do, it's a lot that God's calling on you to do. But when you realize what He's calling you out of and what He's calling you into, you know that what you're going out of is nothing compared to the joy of what you're going into. In Genesis chapter 12, He called him to leave his, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Listen, brethren, God was going to bless Abraham, and God was going to bless Abraham's seed, and God was going to bless all the descendants of Abraham. There was a great nation being formed right here through this one man, Abraham. And I believe with all of my heart that there are some of you in this congregation, I believe there are some children in this congregation, that God is going to use those children and raise them up to be a great leader and great leaders in this land and in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe that all of you parents need to understand that God's calling on you to teach them and train them and guide them and direct them so that they are great spiritual men of God. They need a foundation. Was Timothy a great man of God? He was a great man of God. The Apostle Paul called him his son, Timothy. Paul didn't have any sons of his own, but he had some sons in the ministry. And he said, My son Timothy. And who was it that taught Timothy what he knew? His mother and his grandmother were faithful servants of God. They had taught Timothy. And I believe that this man Abraham was a great man of God. He had a daddy that loved the Lord. And his daddy had done a great job of training him. But he had to leave his daddy, didn't he? And he had to leave his kindred, and he had to leave his country. He had to get out because he was going into something else, wasn't he? What was the land called that he was going into? All right, it's called the land of promise or the land of Canaan. Called into the land of Canaan. Now, what is the land of Canaan a foreshadowing of? The land of Canaan is a foreshadowing of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Listen, brethren, Abraham could not go into the land of Canaan until he went out of where he was. Does everybody follow that? And that's a principle that we all need to understand. I cannot go into the land of Canaan. I can't go into the kingdom of heaven unless I'm first willing to go out of the world. I've got to leave the world. I've got to leave the things of the world. I've got to leave them behind. I've got to leave sometimes even people in order to go into the kingdom of heaven. And what did Abraham do? Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Did they go out? And go into. See, if all you think about what you have to leave, you're going to miss. I think you may even miss the strength and ability that you need to go out of something unless you know you're going into something greater. Do you see the beauty of that? God called Abraham to go out into something better. He called him to leave these other people in this other land to go into the land of Canaan. Now, is this the only example in God's Word of God calling people to go out and to go into something else? What's the next major event in God's Word? After this of Abraham, what would you say is the next major event of God calling people out of one thing and into something else? What would you say is the next major thing, Brother John? Okay, he called who? Okay, he called the children of Israel to go out of what? Out of Egypt. Now, what was Abraham called to leave? Okay, his family and his kindred and the land that he was familiar with. He was called to leave that to go into another land. What about the children of Israel? Where had they been for 400 years? They had been in Egyptian bondage, hadn't they? And God called them to come out of Egypt, go out of Egypt. And they went out of Egypt and they were going out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. You see the pictures all the way through the Word of God where God was calling people out, but as He called them out, He was calling them into something far greater. I want you to notice, for example, in Exodus. Go forward in your Bible just a moment. I just want to touch on the children of Israel that Brother John mentioned, and I want us to see that they had to leave Egypt before they could go into the land of Canaan. But I want you to also mention this. I almost forgot. Listen, there was somebody that led the children of Israel, wasn't there? Oh yes, Moses. You go back over to, we're not going to do it right now, but you go back over there to Hebrews chapter 11, you know who will tell us, not only does it tell us about Abraham was called to go out into a land, old Moses was called to go out of something and into something, wasn't he? He went out of Pharaoh's house. Now, you might disagree with me, but I think that Moses was called to leave even more than Abraham was. You might not agree with that. But I think there was greater prestige and honor and glory for Moses that was right there for Moses. And to leave that and to take a people that were a rebellious people, a people that did not appreciate him, and to lead that people out of Egypt and lead them into the wilderness and all that Moses went through, Moses was led out of Pharaoh's house. He had everything that a human could desire in Pharaoh's house. He was the future reign, the future king, or the future Pharaoh. He was going to be ruling over all of Egypt, and he left it all to do what? He went out to do what? He went out, just give me the preposition. He went out to go what? In. Okay, into. He went out to go into something else. Now, he was going toward what? Canaan, but what did he have to go through before he got to Canaan? He had to go through the wilderness. Do you see the great difficulty? How many of you sometimes murmur and complain because of what God's called you to do? Listen, brethren, it's a shame and a disgrace that we murmur and complain. There's nobody in this building that's ever been called on to do more than what Moses or Abraham or these other great saints of God. And sometimes we act like we've been called on to do so much. Listen, brethren, we haven't been called on to do near as much as these people. God's never called on me and said, take thy son, thy only son, take him and offer him as a sacrifice. That Abraham was a man of God. He was a man that loved God. He was a man that walked by faith, a man that lived by faith. He was a man that went into something before he went into heaven, didn't he? Did he go into sweet fellowship with God? Did he have great communion and fellowship with God while he was here in this world? Did Moses have great fellowship with God while he was here in this world, before he ever left this world. Indeed, he did. Why did Abraham have fellowship with God here? It's because he walked by faith and lived by faith. It's because he went out so he could what? Go into. And Moses did the same thing. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. The Word of God here is talking about the children of Israel going out of Egypt. Moses went out. Moses led them out. Moses was called out of Pharaoh's house, and Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest..." Did that take faith? Did that take faith for Moses to go to Pharaoh? He says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now, what was he going to take them into? Canaan. But what were they coming out of? Egypt. Now, when they got in the wilderness, what was it they longed for? What was it they thought about? What did they think? Oh, I wish we had those leeks and onions that we had back there. You remember that? How they murmured and complained. "Moses, you brought us out of Egypt to perish in the wilderness." And they were mad at Moses, and they talked about what they didn't have, and they talked about all the sufferings they were going through. What was wrong with the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness? What were they not looking forward to? What did they did not have their eyes on what their goal was. What was the goal? To get into the land of Canaan. Did they have to go through some wilderness and hard times before they got into the land of Canaan? Do you and I have to go through some difficult times in order to enter the kingdom of heaven while we live here in this world? Yes, the Word of God says it's through much tribulation that we enter what? The kingdom of God. The Bible says that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Does it take a lot of work and labor on your part to enter the kingdom of heaven while you live here in this earth? It does. He's called you to go out so that you can go into something better. There are a lot of other scriptures that we could go to talking about the children of Israel coming out. I'm not going to do that, but I do want to go to the New Testament. I want to ask you to please turn in your Bibles right now, very quickly. Turn to... I'm not sure where to go to first. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Everybody, please look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 10. And let me say this before I read from Matthew chapter 10. I have gotten about two or three different, one letter and one book that somebody sent me, and then the third thing was really a letter to the editor. But I've read three times this past week, I've read about how God wants everybody in the world to be one big happy family. That's what is being taught. That is a false doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God. And I want you to understand that, because it has to do with what the subject is we're looking at tonight. God's called us to come out. Not only to come out from places, God's called us that where we have to leave some people. You know, if you're going to be walking with Christ, if you're going to have fellowship with Christ, there's some people that you have to leave. Do all of you understand that? If you're going to walk with Christ, if you're going to really walk in the light as He's in the light, you can't walk with darkness. If you want to have fellowship with the world and the things of the world and the people of the world, you stay there and you'll perish there. But if you'll come out and leave those things and those people, the Bible says that we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Get out of that. Get out of those places. Get away from those people. I want you to see that it is not God's purpose that we all be one big happy family in this earth. First of all, it's impossible, but secondly, it's just a false doctrine. And the thing that's been addressed, all three of the things that's been addressed in this past week, have to do with standing against homosexuality. Standing against homosexuality. There are people, and I think that they are sincere people. I believe there are many children of God who believe it's wrong to take a stand against anybody or anything. But they're in error in their beliefs. They believe that because of a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding. They think that Jesus, in fact, people who stand against, this is a common statement that I've read three times in the past week, is that anybody that stands against homosexuality, they are not Christians. They're not Christians. They don't know anything about the Spirit of Christ. They don't know anything about the true Jesus of the Bible. Now, let me tell you something about the true Jesus of the Bible. The true Jesus of the Bible stood against sin and ungodliness. The true Jesus of the Bible was one that called His disciples to stand against sin and ungodliness. It was their stand against sin and ungodliness that caused Jesus to be crucified and caused those disciples to be crucified. The Bible says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do you know who they suffer persecution from? They suffer persecution from the world that hates God. They hate God. And even from some children of God that are in ignorance. Listen in Matthew chapter 10. I want you to hear about our Jesus. I want you to hear about the Jesus of the Bible. This is our Jesus. Our Jesus is different than the world's Jesus. I want you to understand that. The world's Jesus is this little jolly fellow that wants everybody to be one big happy family. Here's the Jesus of the Bible. Matthew chapter 10, listen please to verse 34. Matthew 10 verse 34, Jesus says this. Matthew 10 verse 34, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Now does that sound like the Jesus that people know about today? Jesus says, "Don't you think I've come to bring peace in the earth?" Now there are two kinds of peace in the Bible, aren't there? There are two kinds of peace taught in God's Word. One peace is a lack of conflict, no conflict at all. And the other peace is an inner peace that is a peace that passeth all understanding. And Jesus Christ was a man that came to send peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. But that peace that Jesus came to bring is a peace that comes as a result of conflict. It's a result of people coming out of something that they go into the peace that passeth all understanding. And you can't ever have the peace of Jesus Christ unless you leave some things and stand against some things in this world. And that's hard to do. It's harder for some than for others because we all have different personalities and different temperaments. But it's hard for everybody. Matthew 10, I'm going to reread verse 34. "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Here's what he says in verse 35. This is Jesus speaking. "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Does that sound like strange teaching with the modern-day concept of Jesus Christ? Is that a totally different teaching than the modern day concept of Jesus Christ? I think that it is. But this is what Jesus said to do. Now, am I to honor my mother and my father? Is that something I'm still under obligation to do? Certainly. I'm to honor my mother and father. All of us as children of God, we're to honor our parents. And yet at the same time, if my mother or my father or my brother-in-law or my sister-in-law or my uncle or my aunt or my children, if they walk contrary to the Word of God, I have a responsibility to stand against them. That's part of my responsibility as a child of God. That's difficult. And it hurts. It hurts very much to stand against people that you love. I had one young man this week said that he just didn't, he wants to be friends with everybody. Did you know I have that in my flesh too? In my flesh? You know why I want to be friends with everybody? Because I want everybody to like me. Did you know that? I'm just telling you the way my flesh feels. How many of you want everybody to like you? How many of you want that? We want everybody to like us, don't we? But when you know the truth of God's Word, what do you also know? What is reality? Reality is that if you're going to follow God, if you're going to obey God like Abraham did, if you're going to obey God like Moses did, if you're going to obey God like the disciples of Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will not be a friend of everybody. In fact, James says that whosoever is a friend of the world is what? The enemy of God. The enemy of God. So you can choose. You choose. You can either stay in the world and be a friend of the world, or you can follow God. Get out to go in to something better. I'm not going to read all of this passage, but I do encourage you to go home and read Matthew 10, 34 through 39 and a lot of other scriptures. If you want more scriptures that talk about us going out and going into something better, then I encourage you to just contact me and I'll give you other scriptures. Let me give you one in closing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Jesus says, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Is that a calling for us to come out? Call to us to come out so that we can go into something better. May God help us to leave the things we need to leave in order to enter something far better is my prayer for Christ's sake.